You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Marriage rates have been declining for years in the United States, falling to record lows earlier this year.
This has a lot of people looking for the causes of declining marriage numbers, whether it's a cultural attitude change, an outcome of a changing economy, or a combination of factors.
In a new paper, our next guest set out to examine one theory behind the marriage decline, the idea that there's a lack of marriageable men in dating and the marriage market.
Isabel Sawhill joins us now. She's a senior fellow in the Center on Children and Families at the Brookings Institution. She's co-author of the new report, Is There a Shortage of Marriageable Men? Isabel, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, let's start with a mystery that you and a lot of others are trying to solve, the declining marriage rates. How big a decline have we seen in marriage here in the U.S.?
Well, it's pretty dramatic in a relatively short period of time. A lot of people think that the big problem in the U.S. is divorce, and that used to be true, but the divorce rate has actually been declining since the 1980s. And what we're seeing is people just not marrying at all in the first place. And the result is that you've got a lot of children being born outside of marriage. 40% of all children in America are born outside of marriage. And if you talk about the youngest generation, which is women under 30, then the proportion is 50%. So it's not just that people aren't getting married, it's that they're also having children and without the benefit of marriage, and that is leading to more poverty and less mobility than we might otherwise have.
We'll get a little bit more into the consequences in a bit, but one explanation that's out there is this idea, as we mentioned, that there's a shortage of marriageable men. And reading your paper, I'm not sure that everyone out there agrees on what that means. So what do we mean when we say marriageable men?
Right. There has been a lot of discussion and writing about a shortage of marriageable men, and what is usually meant by that phrase is that men aren't doing very well economically. They don't have jobs, or even if they have jobs, they're not earning very much. And so from the woman's perspective, they don't look like great marriage material. And even from the male perspective, the men involved may not feel like they're capable of being breadwinners because of their economic problems. And people measure this in various ways by looking at, you know, how many men are employed and what their earnings are and how that's changed over time. And it is true that if you're talking about young men, and especially less educated younger men, their employment rates have declined and their earnings have also declined after adjusting for inflation. So that creates some sense that probably that is playing a role, and how much has been a big question mark.
And you narrow it down a little more. You look at specific groups based on income and race, education levels. Before we get to how that breaks down, how much do we as Americans tend to marry people who are like ourselves when it comes to things like income or education or ethnic background?
We tend to marry people that are similar to ourselves, and that's just a fact of life that if you're well-educated, you're going to marry somebody else who's well-educated. If you're black, you're most likely to marry another African-American, and you also tend to marry somebody in your same age group. So we do look at the data broken out by those categories because those are the categories in which people normally do marry. And then we can look at, in each category, is there a shortage of so-called marriageable men? And then we have to get into how we define marriageable. I mean, we have to think about, are there marriageable women and not just are there marriageable men?
Talking to Isabel Sawhill from the Brookings Institution about her new report. She co-wrote it. It's called, Is There a Shortage of Marriageable Men? You can join this conversation, by the way, at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Okay, Isabel, you broke it down by group, defined marriageable men and women as best we can. Where did we find a shortage in the U.S. for marriageable men?
We basically found a shortage amongst African Americans. There really is a shortage of men there, and I think that's related to the fact that so many of them are So many African American males are incarcerated. Many of them die at a young age from violence. And then on top of that, they don't have very good job prospects. Their unemployment rates and so forth are much, much lower than, I mean, their unemployment rate is higher and their employment rate is much lower than for whites. So we do find that there's a problem there. For whites, we don't see much of a problem except perhaps amongst the very well-educated. And the reason there might be a problem amongst the very well-educated is because we have had a huge increase in female education and not much in male education. So if you look at graduating from college, for example, 60% of all college graduates are women. Only 40% are men. So there is a shortage of well-educated men for well-educated women to marry. Now, that wouldn't make any difference if the women were willing to marry down, meaning, you know, marry someone with less education than what they have. But that has been not the convention. The convention has been for men to marry down and women to marry up, to marry someone that's better educated than they are. But they're not going to be able to do that in the future, and already we're seeing some shortage of marriageable males amongst the very well-educated.
And is this playing out in marriage rates for those two groups? Are we seeing fewer marriages involving African-Americans, lower marriage rates, I should say, and the same with those more highly educated women?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because you would think that that would lead to seeing less marriage in both of the groups I mentioned, the African-Americans and the well-educated, and you do see less marriage amongst the African-American group. But you see actually very high rates of marriage, at least relatively speaking, amongst the very well-educated, and that gets us to the fact that there are other things going on here besides marriageability. Or better ways of defining it. I mean, we don't just marry someone because they happen to be high earners or economically successful. We marry them for other reasons. And furthermore, there has been much more of a trend amongst the very well-educated towards what I'd call shared marriages, marriages in which both spouses work, but in which they also both contribute to child care and household work and other things. In the less educated groups, the men have not adjusted to the fact that their wives are working, and they're still expecting their wives to do it all. I'm making generalizations here to be sure, but there is definite evidence that amongst the less educated groups, men are not becoming more flexible about who does what, whereas amongst well-educated groups, they are.
Now, we've narrowed down these two groups, African-Americans, highly educated people, where there seems to be this marriageability gap and maybe fewer marriages in among the African-Americans. How about everybody else? It sounds like there isn't that gap. So are their marriage rates going down, too?
Their marriage rates are going down, and we're talking especially now about whites with less than a college degree, which is a very large group, by the way. It's the dominant group in terms of numbers here. And only about 30% of the population has a BA degree. A lot of people go to college, but they don't actually get the degree. And that group is having lots of problems. The non-college educated whites is having lots of problems. Their marriage rates have plummeted. And it's hard to say why. It can't be because there aren't enough marriageable men in that group, because there are. The data, really, our data show that there are plenty of marriageable men in that group. One thing that's happened in that group is that a lot of the women are having babies outside of marriage, and then maybe they're not so marriageable because the men in their lives don't necessarily want to marry someone who already has a child by a previous relationship, which is often the case. We've got a lot of churning of relationships in that group. So we have to put that into the equation here as well. And, you know, one of the things I would say to to women in general, and especially to those without the college degree, don't have a baby before you're in a committed relationship, because once you do have a baby, it's going to be a lot harder to find someone who's willing to marry you.
Talking to Isabel Sawhill from the Brookings Institution, looking at a new paper on the decline of marriage and whether there's a shortage of marriageable men.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you see marriage as a priority in your life? Do you feel like you have or had good options for picking out a potential spouse? What does marriageable mean to you? Did you marry someone like you in terms of income, education, and race and religion? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation with Isabel Sawhill from the Brookings Institution. In a new report, she looks at the decline of the marriage rate in the United States and one theory behind that, a possible shortage of the number of marriageable men. Mostly, there's no shortage, according to the report, except among African Americans and people at the highest level of education.
You could join the conversation with your thoughts, maybe your experiences, at 800-642-1234. Why do you think marriage has been on the decline? In the circles you move in, is there a shortage of marriage men or marriageable women? How do you define marriageable? If you're not married, was that a conscious choice, or did it just pan out that way so far? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. Eric is on the line in Milwaukee. Eric, hi.
How are you guys doing?
Good. What do you want to bring up?
So I was just thinking, the term marriageable is using a older kind of, you've got the job, you can support the nuclear family, the 2.5 kids or whatever. The societal shift has been such that men aren't necessarily looking for that. They can fulfill all their requirements on lower income because they're not trying to provide for a family, and they've got friends and family that fill that role. They're not necessarily looking for children, and therefore not looking for a family. So maybe not so much not marriageable as marriage holds no real allure.
Interesting. Eric, thanks a lot for bringing that up. Isabel, that's part of the question. Is this a cultural change in our expectations in our lives? Is that something we're seeing with men in particular?
I think that's a really interesting comment. And I think that there are quite a number of men, or a growing number, who, as the caller says, are not thinking in terms of an old-fashioned breadwinning role and are not looking to get married and are saying, why should I get married? Why not stay footloose and fancy free and not take on those responsibilities? So I think this is part of the cultural change, as you said, that it's no longer a requirement that one be married as an adult. That, you know, it would be 40 years ago that if you weren't married by the time you were, let's say, 35 or so, people would have looked at you and said something's the matter with you. And I don't think that's true anymore.
Eric, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go next to Nicole in Green Bay. Nicole, hi.
Hi, I'd just like to add that my fiance has been engaged for over 5 years now, and we have a lack of income, a lack of jobs, housing, childcare, and if those weren't an issue at this time, we would have been married a long time ago.
Nicole, thank you so much for bringing that up. And Isabel, that was another thing we threw out there. Is this an economic change? Wage stagnation, a bad job market coming out of the recession. Is this in part an economic story of why people aren't getting married?
Well, I'm trying to understand what the caller said. If I heard her right, she said that she and her fiancé had been together for 5 years.
Engaged for 5 years. Yeah, engaged for 5 years, but didn't feel like they had it economically together to raise a child, get child care, that sort of thing.
So they don't have any children yet.
Yet, correct.
Well, then I think that is an issue if they are waiting until they're in a better situation before they have children. That's probably a wise thing to do. And but normally, even if you are in a relatively modest job, if there are two of you and you're both bringing home a paycheck, you should be able to afford at least one child.
All right, well, good luck with the engagement and eventual hopeful marriage there. We'll go next to Derek in Waukesha. Derek, hi.
it going?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Derek?
Good, good. I just think one factor that hasn't been touched on yet is that the divorce rate is so high. I think it was Bill Burr, he said that if you're going skydiving and the guy said that half the parachutes weren't going to open, you wouldn't want to go and do that. And also that the divorce laws favor the women so heavily that guys are kind of losing out on a lot of stuff. So, you know, I think guys are just seeing that, not wanting to go down that road.
Derek, thanks for the call. So Derek's saying a fear of divorce. He's citing that one in two marriages. I think you mentioned earlier, Isabel, those numbers have definitely gone down since then. But is a fear of divorce keeping people from getting married?
I think it is. I hear that quite a lot. And I think that people haven't realized that the divorce rate has come down a lot, and that the divorce rate is very sensitive to whether or not the two people are well matched, and that in turn depends upon how old you are when you get married and your level of education and things of that sort. Because the divorce rate is very low amongst people who are relatively mature when they get married and also relatively well educated. But no question that the fear of divorce is inhibiting some people from getting married. If you just live with someone, or don't, partner with anybody at all, then you've eliminated that risk. That's true.
Derek, thanks for the call. We're talking to Isabel Sawhill from the Brookings Institution about the decline of marriage in the United States, some of the reasons behind that. Isabel, before we go back to callers, at the end of your report, you say it's important that kids have stable relationships. We need to do something to help keep that family structure. And that something may not necessarily be what we now think of as marriage. What do you mean by that?
I think that if two people are very committed to each other and committed to having children and really plan to have children together, then they don't necessarily need to be married. What we see in Europe is a lot of very, very stable, long-term cohabiting relationships that involve children. We don't have that in the U.S. In the U.S., we have a lot of people having children outside of marriage, sometimes when they're living together already, but those relationships break up very quickly, typically within, you know, 2-3 years, and then people go on to form other relationships, and that creates a lot of instability in children's lives, and that we know is not good for kids and rather difficult for adults as well.
Back to our
so one of my thoughts about all of this in terms of what we might do, because I'm not really optimistic that we're going to bring marriage rates back to what they were 30, 40 years ago. I think what we should do is create a new sense, a new mindset about having children, and people should think hard before they have a child and not have a child before they feel very capable of either supporting it themselves or partnering with someone else in a committed relationship to do so, preferably the latter, because kids do better when they have two parents and not just one.
Well, Isabel, as we wrap up, do you see a tide turning in that direction for more people to either want to be married before having children or making sure they have that longer-term commitment to provide stability for children, or are we still moving away from that?
Right now, I'm afraid we're still moving away from it, but I don't want to be too pessimistic here. I think that we're going through a cultural transition in which we're still, to some extent, influenced by these older attitudes that the first caller referred to, which is that, you know, marriage was just the expected thing to do. Yet we haven't gotten to a new world in which people think about what is it that I need and what is it that any children I have need, and which may be something different than these very unstable short-term relationships we're seeing now. So we need to make that transition from the old world to the new world, and we're not there yet.
Isabel, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
We've been talking to Isabel Sawhill. She's a senior fellow in the Center on Children and Families at the Brookings Institution, and she's co-author of the new report we've been talking about. It's titled, Is There a Shortage of Marriageable Men? By the way, we have that report linked on the Central Time Facebook page. You can check it out there and share your thoughts while you're there.
Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, author and law professor Randall Kennedy weighs in on the debate over respectability in the modern civil rights movement and whether African-American activists need to be civil to promote rights.
Filmmaker, legendary independent filmmaker John Waters is visiting Wisconsin. He's going to give a talk on LGBT culture, and he's going to join us here on Central Time to share some of his latest thoughts.
And a guest takes us on a tour of the culinary history of Milwaukee. A lot of history to talk about there, from cheese curds and beer to potato pancakes.
Yeah, a lot of great food in that area, past and, of course, present. Maybe we'll get a taste of some of that, too. All that and a look at some of the latest news of the day. It's coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.